And just like that, we're back.
Ooh, we're back.
You know that song, how's it go? Lamb jam back again to let's begin, party on, party on, everybody get up. I don't think it's Space Jam. I'm going to retract that. I do not think that song is Space Jam. What is that song? I cannot think of it. But can we talk about a song right now that is a straight jam? Follow You. Okay, if you don't own that song right now, top songs I'm listening to right now. Kings and Queens, Ava Max. Rain on Me, the Ari Gaga combination with that is fire. Follow You by Imagine Dragons. Hello. Good to Be Alive, Meghan Trainor. These are my like psych me up songs that I'm listening to right now that get me just in the groove and the mood. Stevie Wonder's I Just Called to Say I Love You. Is that not like a little like, it just feels kind of like vacation-y. You know what I mean? Obviously, from The Karate Kid, the song You're the Best. One of my favorite jams. Just write these down, you guys, for the playlist. Fires by Jordan St. Cryer. I can never say the last name. Next to Me by Jordan Feliz. Just the Two of Us. Grover Washington Jr. coming in hot with that classic. But these are the songs that I've got. And then Plastic Hearts by Miley Cyrus. Like, hello. Yeah. And then, you know, Beach Boys, Beatles, the whole thing. My music taste is very eclectic. I do not, the only thing I can't straight listen to is metal. Like I can only go as far as like Paramore, Evanescence, Wake Me Up Inside. Oh my gosh. Was that my angsty song growing up? Yes, it was. I would just jam out to Wake Me Up Inside. I love that song. Cascade Is Every Time We Touch. Oh, is this just going to be a musical episode? It's not. It's not, you guys. For those of you that are joining us for the first time, I was not so unprofessional. Welcome. Hi. It's nice for you to be here. This is After Hours with Amanda, the podcast by a parent, kind of about parenting, but I'm not just a parent. I'm a human. We're on the journey of life. We talk all things Taco Bell, music, kombucha, McDonald's, Coca-Cola. We run the gamut, y'all. We run the gamut. We talk about the journey that, you know, Christianity. We talk about the dating. We talk about the finding yourself kind of jams. And we talk about parenting. And what are we going to talk about today? It's going to be intertwined like it always is. So if you're new here, as I always say, buckle up, buttercup, because it's going to be a ride, okay? You can expect little sing songs like that. If you're not new here, you know how we roll. So let's jump on in. Can I tell you I was inspired this week? I was inspired this week because I've always had this thought, how insane is it that we pressure people at 18 to be like, yo, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? And London, and I shared this in a TikTok, y'all, okay? I shared this in a TikTok. London had this really interesting comment that I was not even prepared for, like sobbed about. We're watching Toy Story. You guys know I live for Disney, Pixar. I just love it. It's all of it, okay? Like the amount of movies. When I commented this week on Instagram, I posted a picture and I talked about Toy Story. And then people came out and they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, Inside Out. Ooh, can't forget about Monsters, Inc. When Boo opens the door and Kitty's not there, like, oh my gosh, Coco, y'all, remember me? Oh my gosh. I can't get into it too deep. But London made this comment about, I get teary. Okay. Andy's playing with the toys. He leaves for college. I cannot tell you how quickly time moves. I used to be like, when people would be like, oh, it goes so fast with kids. I was like, yeah, I know. It goes real fast. Thanks so much. It goes so fast. Oh God, it goes so fast. But here's the thing. Okay. We're watching Toy Story 3. We're at the end. And Andy's driving away and I'm, you know, teary, misty, and I don't hide that in front of my children. Like my tiny humans have seen me cry. So I look at London and she's like, does it make you sad? I said, you know, it's not that it's sad. It's that it's hard for me because I know one day it's going to be like you going away to college and that's exciting. I want that for you as a human. I am excited for that for you, but it makes me kind of sad. I'll feel like Woody, you know, like I'm having to let go in that way, which is important. Okay. Like, hello, boundaries. It's important. They need to do that. But London said, well, I bet Andy's real scared. I never, not once on my honor did I ever think about Andy in that scenario. I kept thinking, man, this guy, he's going to college. He's like, bye. I'm so excited. Even though he's sad about the toys, right? He has this interaction with Bonnie, but he's leaving. And when London said this, this thought struck me, this this insane pressure that I felt at 18, right? I was so scared. I was going away to college and then backed out 2 weeks before and was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm backing out. And stayed at home and went to state school for 2 years. Now, no shame in the game. City, state, trade school, no school, whatever. Okay. Like, I'm not going to be beating the college drum. I'm going to be beating the help my kids find happy in a way that's functional for them to live. Because I honestly don't think that college is the only answer, but that's a story for another time. Anyways, here's my shtick with this. We expect this. And then as I'm having this thought, I share on TikTok and I'm like talking it out with Blake. I'm like, what is this about? Like, what do you want to be? Always asking kids, like, who are you going to be when you grow up? What do you want to be? It's like the constant answer, right? Like, find yourself, figure out who you are, what you want to do. And it starts from a very young age, this seeking, right? This, I have to find myself, right? Because I'm obviously not myself. I have to find me. And then Mr. Chaz, if you've ever seen him on TikTok, he posted this thing on Instagram. And I literally, it was like my brain lit up when he said it. And he kind of had this, it's like a, you know, where someone like plays the kid and someone plays the adult and they have the conversation. You see it all the time on TikTok. And if you're wondering why I'm talking fast, I'm so over caffeinated today. It's insane. And I've had literally no water. But hold on. I brought water to my closet. Hold on. I'm going to get it. But here's the thing. Chaz has this exact interaction, right? Well, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I'm me. Yeah. No. What do you want to be? Well, I want to be me. Well, yeah, but what do you want to be? Who are you going to become? What are you going to do? And it struck me that this is, and I always say this, I'm self-evaluating as a parent. I'm on this journey as a parent. That's why I share my learnings. And do they involve conversations with my kids sometimes? Absolutely. Does it just focus on them? No, because they deserve privacy in their learning. Okay. So here's this thought I had that literally rocked my world, that if you think this is important, if this resonates with you, parent, person, human, hear me on this. From a very young age, literally conception, we're taught to think, who will our children become? What will they do? Where will they be? How can we prepare them? But what we miss, the big gaping hole that we miss, is they're already who they are. They don't need to become anything. They need to develop, to find the things that bring them joy, the things that make them happy. They need to develop their interests. Rather than looking at a child who says, wow, I really love coloring, and saying, no, sweetheart, color inside the lines. Okay, this is the way it looks. These are the colors you use for a rainbow. And Paige has taught me this because Paige loves rainbows. It's like her thing right now. She's obsessed with them. And I live for it. I love it. I love that she's so into color. Okay. The knee-jerk reaction for us is no. Red. Ooh, am I going to get it right? I don't know. Okay. Red, orange, yellow, green, purple. No, blue, purple. I think that's right. Ooh, fingers crossed. And Paige was like, I want to do varying colors of pink. I want to do varying colors of orange. And from that early point, we say, no, this is what the rainbow looks like. This is how the color goes. Instead of looking and saying, wow, that's really abstract. What makes you want to do those colors? And feeding that and looking to that, we say, no, that's not what you do. That's not how it's done. This is a rainbow. Follow the rainbow. Look at the rainbow. And then we continue to perpetuate this idea of, who are you? What do you want to do when you grow up? We even have career day. And don't get me wrong, okay? Don't hear what I'm not saying here. I am not saying that it's not helpful to ask children what interests you in terms of careers and things like that. But what I am saying is we need to stop treating it like they're seeking an identity instead of a career or a job or an occupation. They don't need to seek this out to become who they are. You don't become a doctor, right? That's a career. That is not a person and an identity in terms of their self-identity, their self-worth and who they are. And I think this is where we start that teetering of not being able to have the boundaries with your career and your work life and your personal life. You are a doctor, therefore you're always a doctor. It's such a part of you that that's what determines it. You're a person besides us. And this identity misplacement, this identity overwhelmingness, it happens with motherhood. It happens with school. It happens with things. You're a student athlete. That's who you are. So what happens when you quit playing that sport? How many student athletes lose identity with that, lose self-worth with that? Because we are so we are so literally programmed to look for that for accolades, to look for that for acceptance, to look for that for achievement, to look for that for identity. And I've said this before, it's a lot of the reason that I was brought back to Christianity on my journey, what led me there, because the identity and the self-worth could never be enough for anything. I can't find it anywhere else. I find it in that anchor of Christ. I know I'm loved and I'm seen exactly here as I am, lowest point, highest point, worst point, terrible, whatever. So that is what I work daily to ground me. Is it always there? Absolutely not. Do I some days feel like my identity is tied into the TikToks I make, the podcasts I put out, the children that I'm raising, the wife that I am, the person that I want to be, the things I want to do? Of course, life is messy that way. But what we don't have to do is we don't have to start at this very beginning point looking at our kids saying, well, who are you going to be? Well, what are you going to do? Well, what sport are you going to play? Well, what specialty? What? We need to start looking at them as people and letting them reveal to us where those things come to light. I look at London. London is incredibly, incredibly interested in singing. She loves it. She loves it. You know what she loves? Fly to Who You Are from Tinkerbell right now. Come on. Some little Selena Gomez up in here. And when she sings it, y'all, she is like, fly to who you are. Like, she's giving it her all, okay? And I'm here for it. She also loves acting things out. She also loves taking care of people. So I am letting her feed into those interests. Sure, yeah, it's great. Put them in soccer. Let them try it. Sure, it's wonderful. Do they want to do gymnastics? Do they want to do dance? Yes. But do we need to make that the career for them at 5 years old? No. Do they show genuine interest in it and they're passionate about it? Do I know one of my best friend's kids is legit at baseball? That child literally came out of the womb talented and hitting homers, okay? And he's 7. He's an incredible runner. You just know, and he loves it. He absolutely loves it. And so there's that balance, right? But I think that what we have to do for ourselves, and especially our college students, I think we really miss the mark with high school here. I really think we do all these career assessments and aptitude tests and the freaking SATs, okay? And we let that determine, here's where you fall under, okay? This is your achievement. Now, is that helpful in the world? Sure. Is that helpful if they want to go to a really nice college or they want a scholarship? Absolutely. You're not going to change that system. It's in place. But what we can do is support them outside of that and remember and remind them that at the end of the day, that's not where their self-worth stops. Your self-worth doesn't stop when you have a bad day as a mom. Your self-worth doesn't stop when you drop the ball as a friend. Your self-worth doesn't stop when you get on an F on a test. Your self-worth doesn't stop when you go from a high school awesome athlete and can't cut the college team. Your worth doesn't stop when someone dumps you. Your worth doesn't stop when you can no longer find interest in an activity you've done so long. You're allowed to change your mind. You're allowed to be scared. You're allowed to do things differently. You know what I found so intriguing this week that I was looking up? And I'm going to see if I can find it while I sit here. I don't know if I can. My phone is almost dead. But I saw it and it really struck me when I looked at it, because I was like, wait, hold on a second. I need to read this again. Let me go into here. Where is it? Did I save it? I don't know if I saved it. But basically, it talked about when certain things were created and the age at which the people did it. It talked about Starbucks. It talked about Coca-Cola. And let me tell you what, none of these people were 18 years old. They were all in their 40s and 50s and 60s. Now, that's not to say that you can't achieve great things at a young age. What it is to say is that what you do when you're 18 changes when you're 19, possibly changes when you're 28 and when you're 35. And so what's really beneficial is us as parents, and something that I'm going to really focus on that London lit up my mind to with that Toy Story comment when she pointed out, why don't you shift your focus from how it feels to be Woody and focus on Andy? And it could have gone unnoticed. That moment could have gone by, right? And I could have said, yeah, Andy, he's going to college. But what she said to me was, I bet he's scared. He's never been to college. And now he had to leave Woody. And I thought, dang, girl, that safety net. You know, I had this doll when I was a kid. Her name was Molly. And y'all, I carried this doll till I was 10, okay? And I will take absolutely no flack on this. I carried this doll till I was 10. And I lost her in a hotel. I lost her in a hotel and I was devastated. I was devastated because Molly had gone everywhere with me for a really long time. And she wasn't just a doll. She was a safe place. When I was growing up, we moved, we traveled. You know, my mom, when I was a kid, when she had her breakdown and she went into the hospital, we had family and friends coming to help us out and take care of us. My dad was thousands of miles away in Saudi Arabia on a job contract that he couldn't get out of. And, you know, que sera, sera on that. But Molly was an anchor for me as a small kid. I felt safe holding her. And when I lost her, I remember feeling so impacted for weeks and months. I felt like I was missing something. And my parents tried to replace it with another doll, but it just wasn't the same. You know, just it wasn't the same. I'm very sentimental. Things have a lot of sentimental value to me. The things my children make, we just had Mother's Day. And the projects they make me, I just, if a fire, I always say, if our house was burning down, I would find the big like box that I have of all that stuff. And besides my children, obviously, which would already be secured out of the house, that is the only thing I would care about. Burn the shoes, burn the clothes, burn everything else. Give me these projects. But it's the same thing, how we all kind of have this safe place. It's attached to different things. It could be a person. It could be a thing. And Andy leaving Woody in that moment sent him out almost what I feel very vulnerable. I always think of like that dream where you're naked in school and you're like, oh my God, I went to school with no clothes on. There's that nakedness and vulnerability in it. And I think that's how little kids are, you know, tiny humans. And I think that it's actually not that we ever grow out of that. Do you know what I think happens? I think we learn to build up calluses. Have you ever been on the monkey bars? And you know when you're swinging from monkey bar to monkey bar, from monkey bar, days on end at school, right, as a kid in the playground. And eventually you start to get calluses. At first, the blisters, they hurt a little. They hurt a little and you're like, ooh, ooh. But you're like, oh, I can work through it. I can work through it. Then eventually you get calluses. And it's not like the calluses hurt. They just protect that part of your hand, right? And they protect that part of your hand so you can go on the monkey bars over and over and over and over at the playground. And eventually you just don't think about it anymore. And it's not that the callus isn't there anymore. It's not that underneath the callus is actually really raw skin that had to callus over. It's that you've just gotten thicker skin. And I think we forget that. When our tiny people are real tiny, they're little, they need us, they cry. That's how they communicate. As they get older with toddlers, when they're developing, they melt down. And again, the term meltdown to me is something that I weirdly like have this, I don't love it, the relationship with it. I don't know exactly what I want to call it, but I like to think of it as like developmentally hard moments when they're not knowing how to express themselves. It's a frustration. The meltdown is not it's an overwhelming, I don't know what to do with all of this. Help me. It's a cry for help. Okay. And it can come in the form of what seems like a bratty or rebellious child. And I think there is a fine line there. So don't hear what I'm not saying. But with time, we teach them this behavior is unacceptable. And then as they grow up as teens, I think the biggest thing that I've seen and that I've observed and that I hear and that I felt as a teen myself and watched my brother, because honestly, when people ask me where my parenting came from, it came from growing up watching my brother. A lot of it came from him. And as sad as a lot of it makes me, I'm so grateful that I watched and that I observed, because I pray that it helps me on my journey when I get there with my tiny humans, not putting that on them, but hoping that I have a better way to communicate or understand with them. But I think what happens in high school is there becomes this level of mistrust, because we know who we were, right, in high school. We know what we were doing at that age. Oh, that saying, I know what I was doing at your age. Okay, I know what I was doing at your age, right? So, or that it's not that I don't trust you, it's I don't trust your friends, which basically means you don't trust them because you don't think they can make decisions on their own when they're with friends. And I get it. I get it. The fear of them getting into these human relationships with people that might have a negative impact on them, a toxicity of attitude, or might, but we have to trust on some level that they've gotten to that point. But what happens there, right, is that callus builds more. Because the lack of belief when they tell us something, or them making quote unquote mistakes as they develop and they learn, which really what they're doing is learning. It's learning on the job in life. And they learn to suppress more, maybe not share as much, unless they share with their friends because they don't feel judged, because they feel like their friends are doing the same thing or going through the same thing and they can relate. So then we get into college, right? And it's like, suck it up. You're 18 now. Get it together. You got to figure out life, kid. You're not a kid anymore, by the way. You're 18. Expectations. And suddenly you're Andy and you're driving away without Woody. And it's not that you don't want to take Woody with you. It's that you don't think you get to. You can't, because it's just not allowed. Hopefully that callus you have is built up enough, because those blisters, right, are just you not ready to be an adult. You not getting it together. And I don't think we ever stop becoming those little kids, or we ever stop being the tiny people that we were, the Andys, the Bonnies. It's that we learn how to suppress it, because we're literally taught, here's what you do. Here's it. And look, my kids go to a traditional school. They wear a uniform at their school, and they have expectations of behavior at their school. And I send them there because a lot of the things that they focus on have to do with the way that they treat each other. There's a huge focus on how you treat people at her school, at my girl's school. And that was one of the reasons that attracted me to it. I'm grateful for the education there. I'm grateful that they don't have to think about what to wear in the morning and all that stuff. But I also realized that in sending them to a school that is more structured in that way, I need to provide them with the tools outside of that to realize that it doesn't define them. That the calluses that they will get because they go through the education system don't have to determine everything outside of it. I, as a parent, was told by my dad once, Amanda, it doesn't matter where your children go to school, what they do in life and stuff. You as the parent are the one that's responsible for teaching them the core things that will help them. Don't rely on a school to do that. Don't rely on a church to do that. Don't rely on a family. Don't rely on other people to do that. Find the things that are important that matter, that emotional awareness, that empathy for others, and build that up in them. So when they are in that environment, they understand what that represents and what is actually important and what that represents. And they can marry the two. Because like I said, we are literally asked in kinder with those career classes, who are you going to be when you grow up? Well, can't you just be you and find something you enjoy doing? I think rather than asking our kids, who do you want to be when you grow up? We could say, what do you think would be fun to get to do when you grow up? What makes you excited? What are things you enjoy? Is it being outside? Oh, there's a lot. Lennon's really into, actually, another thing she's into, which I love, by the way, is archaeology. Girlfriend loves a good dig. And I'll buy her all the dig stuff. Like, find me a gemstone, girl. Let's go to King Tut's tomb. Let's adventure. Let's go find some things, okay? Like, I love that. And I love that for her. So for me, what am I going to do that feeds that interest for her so she can figure out what is fun? And as a parent, let's talk about parenting for a sec. We're really fed all this info that mother has to be all consuming, right? Mom is all consuming, and it's exhausting. And again, don't hear what I'm not saying. Being a mom is a full-time job. It's one I love. It's not one that is not exhausting. It's not one that doesn't come with struggle, because what you're really signing up to do as a mom is focus more on helping raise up a tiny human into this person and give them the right tools. But what you can't forget is while they're growing, so are you. And I don't think that, and there's a lot of kind of talk right now about how motherhood is not equally portrayed on social media and it's not portrayed appropriately. And I mean, please, I am the queen of like, yeah, my kids don't match clothes. And yes, things are messy. Now, could someone say that watching my content is frustrating because I seem so patient all the time? Yeah, they could. But you know who I always go back to? I go to Mr. Rogers. And there's this video trending right now that so many people tagged me in on TikTok, and I absolutely love it. And it's Mr. Rogers admitting when he had this moment with his grandsons. And then he called up and he apologized to them. He tells this story of how he had had a hard day at work. And I think this is what happens with a lot of us. So this is a really great story in human relationship. He had a really hard day at the show, right, at his job. And he wanted to go see his grandsons, thought it would make him feel better. And when they went there, they were playing in the backyard with a hose. And they were squirting each other. And he said to them, you know, very aware, like, don't squirt me. And one of the grandsons was messing around and getting really close. And Mr. Rogers admittedly said, I looked at him and I said, you know what, you're done. Go inside, turn off the hose. I mean, how many times has this scenario played out in life? If you're a parent or a child, actually just a human being, you've experienced this. So the grandson turns off the hose and goes inside. And Mr. Rogers is driving home. And as he's driving home, he's not feeling great. And he's realizing he probably didn't make his grandson feel great. Because what happened in this situation was the two grandkids were already playing when he arrived. He engaged them while they were in play. And the kid actually hadn't squirted him. His grandson didn't actually squirt him or get him wet. He was playing with him. Now someone could say, oh, you're testing. But Mr. Rogers admitted that he entered into that play situation. And that's what the kids were doing. And he was unfairly asking them to change that. And I loved Mr. Rogers talking about how he was stern and how he called and apologized and how his grandson's response was, it's okay. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has bad days. Because that's what Mr. Rogers had continually shown and allowed and talked about. See, it's not about letting motherhood become all enveloping. It's realizing that motherhood is just another limb to the body of life. And yes, it is a big one. It is one that takes a lot. But the sooner we can get comfortable with motherhood being a limb of the body of life and seeing that as a journey and not needing to be right and not needing to be correct and not needing to have all the answers and not needing to have ego as I'm in charge, the less pressure we feel, because we realize that what we're doing is putting this insane amount of expectation on ourselves that we saw our parents do, right? I mean, I never saw my parents. I mean, my parents, I loved my parents and I think they're great. I didn't get a lot of apologies growing up. And that wasn't because they were egotistical about it. It's because they were taught parents don't make mistakes. So they were actually insecure about it. See, what we don't realize is that a lot of time that ego is tied to insecurity, and our parents, from their parents, were fearful of not having the answers, had no idea what they were doing, but no one talked about it. See, when we constantly are asked, who are you? What do you do? What do you do for work, right? Oh, you do this. Oh, what do you spend your free time? And that falls into the definition of everything. It becomes that identity. And until we start saying, oh, well, I do this for work, but I also do, and this is what I'll do in conversations, because it's kind of interesting to answer, what do I do for work? I don't like the term influencer. I don't like it because it has such a negative connotation. And when people see that, it immediately erupts thoughts. Honestly, it's the same reason it's hard when people are like, what kind of Christian are you? What denomination? And I'm like, I get why you're asking. But when I say, oh, I'm non-denominational Christian, or I grew up as going to churches that were Assembly of God, the minute that rolls off my tongue, their personal experience and judgment and possible walls go right up. So the minute I tell someone, oh, what do I do for work? Oh, I work in social media. I can't even say influencer. And it's not because I'm not grateful for my job. I love it. But it's because it immediately turns people off. And I'm like, but that's not just who I am. I work in social media. I share parenting tips and tricks. I talk about mental health. I work in the influencing industry. I also enjoy Cookie Dough Bites by Ben and Jerry. And the minute I do that, people are like, I didn't ask you what snacks you like. And I'm like, I'm currently in therapy. I'm thinking about doing my hair a little bit, because we are so much more than that. Our kids, they come out who they are. They are people, right? They are individuals. They are them. So when we constantly ask them growing up, who are you going to be? Stop asking them who they're going to be. They're already them. That's who they're going to be. We can help to develop them into what they want to do, things that they love and find interesting. And we can help them not, of course, feel no fear when they go away, when they drive to college or school or whatever they do. But we can help them know that what they're driving into isn't the end-all be-all definition of who they are or who they'll be. If you would have told me at 30, almost 35, I turned 35 this year, September 16th, baby. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just excited about it. If we had told younger Amanda, hey, this is what you're going to be doing, I'd have been like, yeah, right. Are you kidding me? No. That's not how you raise children. You don't do that. That sounds super disrespectful. Because that's how I was raised. But in this journey of life, we're allowed to change our minds. I changed my major 5 times, you guys. Do you want to know why? Because I kept thinking I had to do something very specific. You can't do communications. That's the EG major. That's for the major for people that don't know what they're doing. That's what I was told. That's what the athletes do, because that's the easy major. So I kept trying all these different things, but nothing fit, because I was trying to fit into what I thought, who will I be? Will I be a teacher? Will I be this? Will I be that? Into figuring out what I loved. And that changes too. It's different. This journey is different. We have to stop expecting ourselves to have the answers and be open to the lessons. We have to say, I'm going to do this and take a leap of faith and try with this. And if it doesn't work out, that's okay. I'm not a failure. I'm allowed to change my mind. I'm allowed to make mistakes because this is just a limb on the body of my life. It is not the full story. It doesn't represent every chapter. I get super passionate about that. And that's some of the stuff that I'm talking about in therapy, because a lot of the reason that I went back to therapy is not just because I had a mom who had a like full-blown mental breakdown, hospitalization, the whole thing you see in the movies. Not because of that. There's fear involved with that. There's a lot of fear, because that's one of my worst fears, was that I would be so out of touch with myself that I would end up in a place like that. Because the reason she ended up there was because she tried to do all things for all people and never, ever dealt with how that made her feel. When you are bleeding internally, it's dangerous, right? Someone gets in an accident and you can see gashes, you can see them bleeding. They're patching them up, they're getting them stitches. We have to get them to the hospital. But internally, and hear me when I say this because I know somebody needs to hear it. Internally, somebody is bleeding out. And for fear of emotion, for fear of being wrong, for fear of being judged, they're internally suffering. And I'm not just talking about mental health. I am talking about wounds, because when I look at therapy, the reason I went back was because my internal bleeding was starting to spill out on those that I loved. And that doesn't make me a bad person. That makes me somebody that needed to admit that right now at this stage in life, I need that help. I need to figure out some things. I need to develop myself as a person, because what I don't want to do is bleed out. I don't want to bleed onto the people that I love, because I am more fearful of healing that part. I'm more fearful of what that looks like. You know when you get injured and they tell you you have to go to physical therapy, and they say that that is the hardest part when someone goes into surgery, or when they have like my dad's going to have hip replacement. I haven't shared this broadly yet, but hey, announcement, my dad's having hip replacement surgery. And he's going to have to do physical therapy. And if he doesn't do that physical therapy, the hip is not going to work as well. It's not going to give him the longevity he needs. And that is exactly what therapy is. You come in with a wound or wounds, right? You come in, and therapy's the hard part, man. I mean, that stuff's scary. I shared today on Instagram stories, therapy is terrifying. I get anxiety every time before I go in. And the anxiety I feel is, what could this possibly change? I love my life. I love the people in it. What could this change? What damage could my healing do? And that is the wrong question to be asking. But I think it's what we're all fearful of. Who will I have to draw a boundary with? That's a scary thought. I remember when I read the book Boundaries in college, I was going to therapy at the time again, and I was on anti-anxiety meds, and I was, you know, doing the healing work that we all do. And I remember having to set boundaries with my mom, and I had to have this conversation with her, and y'all, oh my God. Oh, it destroyed me having the conversation to set boundaries, because when you set boundaries, it's not about how it makes the other person feel. It's what you need to do in that moment. And I was doing it in the most loving way possible, but to her, it was hurting her. It was unfair. It was cruel. And that affects you when you have to lay boundaries with people that you love, when you realize there needs to be a boundary. But at the end of the day, just like physical therapy after a surgery or an injury, it's necessary for your limbs to work on your body of life. It's necessary that we quit setting these ridiculous expectations and creating these identities for ourselves that only hang and fall on what we do and who we become. My dad said this, and I say this all the time to my girls. People will not remember what you do. They will remember how you made them feel. And when you change the trajectory of what you're doing to realize that it is about life is really should not be so focused on the outward achievements of promotion and all those things that we place it. And it really should be focused on how we love ourselves and love others in that process. And I think it all ties back to at that young age when someone says, you know, who do you want to be? Who are you going to become? You're an adult now. You're going to have to pay bills. Do you know what it's like? And we throw all these expectations instead of setting up these humans for what life will throw at them when someone outside that sets those expectations. When I think of our house for my tiny people, I think of my doll Molly. And I think of wanting my house, and let me be very clear about this. A house does not have to be a structure. To me, my house is my arms with my kids. And I want that to represent Molly for them, a safe place. I want that to represent this place where they know, like my kids know the expectations, be kind, be respectful, be good. Lennon woke up this morning. Let me just literally put this girl out here and congratulate her. Woke up this morning, got dressed for school, picked up her closet, made her bed. I have not mentioned it all week, y'all. Not once. But you know what I did last week? And I cleaned a room for her. I organized it for her. I said, hey, what's not working in this room? Your room? You can't have fun in it this way. It's hard to find your toys. What is not working? And she told me what was hard for her in that room. And then we came up with a plan. And I changed the way her clothes hung. And I changed the way we did the drawers. And we mixed up how the toys were. And we shifted stuff. So when she went to pick up today, she felt okay with it. She knew where it went. And do you know how excited I was for her? Yes, I am proud of her. But I don't want her coming to me to say, I need your approval. I understand that's nature's way. So of course, I'm going to say, I'm so proud for you, honey. Look what you did. You should be so excited for you. I love you so much. And I want to turn that around so she is receiving that self-validation, knowing that even if she hadn't, I would still say, good job for getting up this morning. Thanks for having a good attitude. See, I want the Molly in her life to represent home for her, that place. My greatest dream, I was talking to a girlfriend last night, one of my greatest dreams is that my house will be the house that the kids come to hang out at. Oh, y'all, I'm already telling Blake, you better be ready. I'm literally working. I will work my tail off for this. I want a movie room. I don't care if it's a spare bedroom, but I want a room where the kids can come, where we have a little mini fridge. It's stocked with drinks. We got movie snacks. We're ready to rock. I've got the house. Mrs. Bolden will feed you. Let's do this. Like, I want to be that house. I want to be that place for people. I want to be the place where I don't ask them who they are, but I say, you're good enough as is. I can't wait to see what you do with who you are. We should be more excited about what our kids are going to do with themselves in life in terms of the people they are versus the degree they get or who they quote become, right? because kids are not a part of a parent's resume. That doesn't belong to us. Their achievements are theirs. We are merely facilitators to try and help equip them with the tools for their toolbox to help them navigate what life looks like. We are the dock. So when the waters get high, when the storm crushes that boat, they can come back into dock. I want to be 80 years old with my, 40, 50 year old. I don't know how old they'll be. I want to be 80 years old and still have my kids coming over sitting. Because I know that's my greatest dream. You see, I never pictured my life without my mother. I never imagined raising kids with her. Her dying when she did never once crossed my mind. But I'll tell you what. It is a fear that I would have to leave my kids at any point before I felt like I equipped them. You have a golden opportunity to love on some humans. Take the parent-child relationship out of it and focus on the fact that you get to be a person to tiny people. And yeah, it's great to be a parent, and I love that. But being a parent focuses a lot on the idea of being in charge, and that's driven by a lot of ego that we have. And it's driven by a lot of what we think is right. And there again, as I always say, don't hear what I'm not saying. There's a fine line with that. But there's also that line in there that allows for the fact that you have individuals in your life who are going to be different, who are going to make different decisions. So what are you going to do to equip them when the life outside of that safe place, that Molly, that home that you've created, beats them and breaks them and tells them that the identity they have is nothing? How are you going to set them up to combat that? Because let me tell you what, you're not going to be able to control their inner voice if you haven't taught them how to master that. And no one's going to master it. No one's going to be a black belt in their inner voice. My inner voice talks junk to me all the time. But what you can do is teach them the skills to tell that inner voice to be quiet, to tell the outward expectations that is not the definition of who they are. So thank you for joining me. I feel so grateful, as I say every week, that you're here. If you feel like someone could use this, please share it with them. Not for the fact of sharing, but for the fact on loving them and maybe putting some aloe on a wound or a callus that's been